That's it for today.
Bud Light. Crisp. Enjoy responsibly. Bud Light Beer. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
There is just one place to go in St. Louis for men's shoes, from dress to casual comfort, Lori's Shoes. Family-owned and operated since 1951. The selection is key. Every width up to 6Es and styles up to size 18, and that goes for athletic, casual, and even Gore-Tex waterproof shoes and boots. Their staff of professionals, including trained podorthists, will have you walking out in a perfect fit. Echo, Cole Haan, New Balance, they have all the brands and can take care of any special ordering for you. Visit them at 9916 Manchester Road between Lindbergh and McKnight.
Club Fitness has something for everybody this fall. Join in November for just $1. That's right. Four quarters get you started on your fitness journey today. Sweater season's now sweating season with free group classes, free kids club, 24-hour access, and 23 locations. Lift local at Club Fitness this November for just $1. To learn more or sign up online, visit clubfitness.us. Club Fitness, the right fit for everybody. Some restrictions apply. See club for details.
We all have a lot of things we're going to do one day. One day I'll change my career. One day I'll get my bachelor's degree. Well, today is the day to be brave, because Maryville University offers more than 30 degrees online, including bachelor's degrees, with no entrance exams and no application fees. We've been empowering students for nearly 150 years, so we know there's no time like the present to focus on your future. Learn more now at online.maryville.edu.
Yeah, Muffa is in the house. I'm in the house. You're in your house or your car or wherever. If you'll give me a minute or so, I'm going to try to get you to change where you do your banking. Unless you're a First Community Credit Union member, then I don't want you to change anything. Just stay right where you are. You're fine. Here's how we're going to do this. They do this every year, and it always means hundreds of new members. Move your car loan from wherever it is now to First Community Credit Union. Move it. Hand it over to them. They will give you at least $100. It sounds like there must be strings attached, but there aren't. It's their thank you. Well, thank you gift for your business, for your car loan. And with a lot of people, there's a second thank you gift in the form of a lower car payment, because in many cases, they find that the rate at First Community Credit Union is lower than the rate they had where they were banking before. So everybody gets at least $100, and a lot of people get a lower car payment. Pretty good deal. It must be, because every time they do it, hundreds of people come on over. And then a lot of those people, in fact, I'd like to think probably all of them, sooner or later end up doing all their banking at First Community because they realize this is a great place to bank. Their rates are competitive. Their service is terrific. Their website is easy to navigate. And you really don't have any reason to be loyal to wherever you're banking now. Really, you probably don't. Unless you have a business and they helped you get started with their bank and they were your business bank. Okay. You feel obligated to them. Or it's your brother-in-law, your sister, who's the vice president or the president there, and she would disown you from the family if you banked anywhere. Okay, you people are excluded. The rest of you, please give this some thought, because it's only going to be around for about another 6 weeks. It ends the end of the year. At least $100 to you in an account, your name, and you've just got yourself a great place to have your car loan, because you may even get a lower rate. First Community Credit Union, all the information. Oh, by the way, over 40 locations. Largest credit union in the St. Louis area. And all the information is at firstcommunity.com.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby.
Let's go.
To get ourselves a treat.
Ah, boy, do I have a lot to talk to this guy about. Dan Buff is brought to you by Window World, the number one. I want to thank the guy that called earlier and said that he's going to call him, needs a couple of windows. And was it his daughter who he said he called him and didn't tell him? She's aiming the PM. Oh, man.
Yeah, his daughter got a couple of windows put in. And
did not tell them.
Yeah, didn't tell him that.
Hey, that's a no-no.
Before we move on with Dan, remember last hour we were talking about the cows, and that guy called with the cylinder thing about how they kill them now.
Yeah, right.
He's Florissant Marv called in and said the never movie No Country for Old Men. Do you remember that movie?
I saw the movie with Javier Bardem.
Yeah, and he said at one point in the movie they used that same type of thing, a cylinder, to kill somebody with. Some guy with, or something like that.
Oh, yeah, that's that kind of hose-type gun that he's got attached to the air tank.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's it?
Yeah.
That's what you got?
That's Mark what I
said. Had. There's a movie with that thing in it?
Yeah, No Country for Old Men. He said if you want to see what it looked like, that's what it looks like.
Well, I'm sure you see what it looked like. You just go to YouTube and pull up Slaughterhouse videos. Mm-hmm. You can see what it looks like, too. But thank you, Marv. Appreciate your input.
Also, I have something. Tom Hanks found out on Sunday, just found out that he's actually related to Mr. Rogers, to Fred Rogers. They are sixth cousins, according to Ancestry.com.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That still makes me not think Tom Hanks is that great an actor. I think Tom Hanks is a very okay actor, probably a pretty nice guy, but every time I see Tom Hanks, I see either Tom Hanks or Forrest Gump. That's what I see. And yeah, he did a pretty good job from what I could tell on the Mr. Rogers thing.
Yeah.
But I think it's because of the subject matter. Rogers was just a very likable guy. And maybe Hanks was the only guy to play that. I don't know. I don't dislike Tom Hanks, but I don't consider him to be one of the great actors of all time. The way you would Anthony Hopkins or somebody, or I don't know, any number of actors that I considered. Sutherland, Kiefer's dad, Donald Sutherland, for goodness sakes, or the British guy. Help me out, Dan. He's old. He's been in a million.
Anthony.
He's talking to you, Anthony Hopkins.
No, Anthony Hopkins, that's the one.
I mentioned Anthony Hopkins. He was in Cocktail. He's in...
Michael Caine?
Caine, that's it. Michael Caine. There's an actor. There's a guy who's a real actor. Okay. And Hanks is very successful and good for him, and he probably deserves it. WindowWorldSt.Louis.com, by the way, is the website. Dan, how are you, Buffa?
I'm good. How's everybody else doing?
Ask him.
Pretty good, thank
great.
You.
Great. How's everybody feeling today?
I'm good. Doing great, but you know why?
Why?
Eggnog is back! Woohoo!
I hate
oh,
it.
My God, I love
we
eggnog.
We never have eggnog, ever.
Slowly
my wife hates it. I hate it. Our whole family hates it. We never have it.
Dan, do you have it leaded or unleaded?
Sometimes
like alcoholic or non-alcoholic
version? Usually non-alcoholic, but every once in a while, I'll put some bourbon in it.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
It tastes like melted ice cream gone bad to me.
Oh,
if
man.
It were frozen, it'd probably be okay. And it's just got a weird taste. I've never gotten into eggnog. I know, you say it every year. You love eggnog.
Just since we were talking about Tom Hanks, does anybody remember the first Tom Hanks movie that they ever watched of him? Mine was Man probably, with One Red Shoe.
I would say Big.
I think mine was Splash with Daryl Hannah.
That was another great movie.
Big? Was that
before Big?
I'll have to look.
I think mine has to be The Bonfire of the Vanities or The Burbs.
The Burbs, another great one.
Yeah.
There was he's fine. He's okay. He's just not, to me, with any range. He doesn't stretch.
Oh, yeah, he stretches?
Castaway and Sully, sorry, Frank, I disagree. I think those were two phenomenal movies in which he was a direct actor.
Okay, here we go. I don't expect everybody to agree
with
me.
Here we go.
I'm just telling you, I personally would not put him in like the top 10 actors of all time.
Oh, I think he's the best. I think he's one of the best. I mean, he's played two-time best actor and winner. He's played...
I didn't say he's a bad actor.
I know.
I just said to me,
but you said
he's
he,
not
but you said
one
he
of the best.
No, he said he has no range. He's played.
To me, he doesn't.
He's played.
Maybe I haven't seen what he does.
He's
where
played
he
a captain
range.
In Saving Private Ryan. He has played
the Green
a
Mile.
Captain of the ship. He's played a Death Row captain.
Apollo
he's played
13.
An astronaut.
I've seen all those.
He's played a gangster hitman in Road to Perdition. And
he played a detective in Catch Me If You Can. I've seen all of those.
He's fantastic. Well, he's playing all these different characters, though. He's one of the most versatile.
Okay, but you understand something. This is just an opinion. It doesn't mean I'm right or wrong.
I know, but
I'm not right or wrong. I just, personally, I will go see a Tom Hanks movie.
But I'm going
to
respond.
But I won't go out of my way to see it.
How about Night Shift? Was he in Night Shift?
I have no idea what you're on about.
That was Michael Keaton and Henry Winkler.
Tom Hanks movie I didn't like was Lady Killers, because he was trying to play a bad guy. He can't play a bad guy.
It wasn't that funny.
I don't understand why you guys want to act like...
Road to Perdition.
I've stepped on somebody. Oh, all I said not. Was, to me, it's like, look, it's like The Irishman. Mike Evans thought that was like the four stars. Great
me
movie.
Too.
I gave it one star.
Well, that's good.
And I'm not going to be the only person that goes to see The Irishman who walks out going, are you kidding me? Is that it?
Oh, for sure. But, you know, it's like you have an opinion and then we respond because your big complaint was that he can't play a lot of different things. So I was just trying to give a response.
No, he's played different things, but none of them to me were the stretch that I've seen. Christian Bale, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Now that guy, that to me, he's 10 times the actor that Tom Hanks is. He's a real, like, actor.
I think that's an arguably good, better choice, but that's pretty close. It's him and Daniel
Day-Lewis. Let's talk about, I told you what I think about The Irishman. And I'll be happy to take calls from anybody who saw The Irishman, who either really loved it, or like me, just thought,
I was going to review it next week, but now we have to do this. I think we have to do it this week.
The Good Liar, Helen Mirren. All right, I saw it too. We're done for 2 months. We won't see any more movies. We got them all out.
You've seen a lot of movies.
A fantastic movie. The Good Liar is a great movie. Now, before I get to the movie we saw last night, let me just make a quick comment about. I haven't seen Charlie's Angels, the ninth generation of whatever.
You don't need to.
Charlie's Angels. Well, I heard on a. It was actually a TV show, and I had it on, and I had to stop and go in the room when I heard it. And the discussion was that Charlie's Angels was a box office dud because in this day and age, we don't appreciate sexist movies. What a ridiculous reason for this thing to bomb. How about this? How about it bomb because it's probably just a really bad movie and because we've done... too many Charlie's Angels things already. How about that? Maybe that's the reason.
It's just not good. I mean, nobody was asking for it. I mean, there's been a lot of movies about mainly a female cast that have done well. Widows last year, Ocean's 8 did well. You know, Bridesmaids did very well. It's just the fact that nobody wanted to see this. I mean, Kristen Stewart's a popular actress. People still like her. Elizabeth Banks, who's... people will know mostly as an actress, she directed this movie, and she's the one...
for somebody to say the public rejected
it. Well, she's the one that came
sexist.
Out and said it. It's just, I was like, I think you're just mad that
she's
your movie bombed.
Thank you. That's sour grapes. She's mad because she was in a dud, so she has
$8 million for that movie. I mean, I think John Travolta's Battlefield Earth did better than $7 million, or $8 million in its first weekend.
Well, I say... the other thing that bothers me is it's almost like now somebody has to go back and redo everything. Something was good, really good. They got to go redo it. And here's why I think sometimes they have to redo it. They go, well, we need to redo this, but this time we need 5 Charlie's Angels. You know what? This will probably happen. And we need a black one, an Asian one, an LGBT Charlie's Angel, then a Caucasian Charlie's Angel, and then let's throw somebody else in there, like a mixed whatever, and then that'll be the new Charlie, and then we got everybody represented. I got news for you. That won't work. Charlie's Angels was 3 smoking hot white chicks.
Yeah. Okay.
Other shows were black characters and should have been black characters, and we don't need to try to put everybody in everything.
No, but they're going to do it. Now, I did make a comment about Battlefield Earth, saying it's opening weekend. Battlefield Earth is probably arguably the worst movie of all time.
It was terrible.
It came out in 2000, and it did $11 million in its first weekend.
Well,
more than Charlie's
Angels. I saw that movie, man.
That was so bad.
It was some alien leader warlord.
Forest Whitaker was in it. The guy from Sons of Anarchy was in it.
Okay, was it worse than Waterworld?
No, I actually did.
Yeah.
I didn't think Waterworld was that bad.
Waterworld was okay.
It was flawed.
It had its flaws. I think its budget for making the movie is what killed
Crash
Waterworld.
Crash Davis had fish feet, so that was a problem.
Oh, man. I just remember giant tanker. I love that part. Let's get to
last night's movie, okay?
All right.
Let me start by saying, first of all, it's Ford versus Ferrari. That's the movie. Let me start by saying...
I was going to do that. Nice.
Okay. All right. My wife doesn't care anything about cars. She just doesn't. I do, but I don't know anything about cars. I don't know anything about the engines. I wish I did. I wish I understood the genius of Carroll Shelby. I wish I really could appreciate what a Shelby GT really was, or a GT Mustang. I just know they're fast, and I have had a chunk of my life where I had plenty of money and I could buy a lot of cars, and I bought some nice expensive cars too, and I'm glad I was able to do that, but I never really knew what I had. Now, she has never cared. All she wants is an SUV because she likes to be high up. She's had 3 back surgeries. She doesn't want to get down the car, and she likes the feeling of safety and visibility of a high. So she's an SUV person. Outside of that, she didn't care anything about cars, and she does like a little bit of speed because I finally put her in something with some power, and she likes having that. When you punch it, you can merge or get around somebody. Yep. Other than that, she doesn't care. So I didn't expect to like the movie, because this is a case where the trailer, to me, does not do the movie justice. The trailer actually looks cheesy to me, and almost made me not see it. But she said she'd go. We'll go see it just for the heck of it. Let's go. Last night she was leaning forward in her seat, yelling at Christian Bale, "Go, go!" She's yelling out, "Go, get step on it!" And I said, "Hey, we're in a movie theater. He can't hear you. It's a film." She forgot. It was so good and so real. She, honest to goodness, thought she was in the race car with this guy. This movie is 10 times better than I expected it to be. Christian Bale is unbelievable. He's okay. I got a new respect for Matt Damon. And the guy that played, what's his name, that played Ford?
Tracy Letts.
What a great job he did. This movie, I don't care if you don't care about cars, it doesn't matter. This is a great story. It's a true story. And the way they told it makes it interesting and fun for everybody.
It
Whether you care about cars, know about, you don't know what the Le Mans is, you don't know a Ferrari, you don't, it doesn't matter. Now, you can give me, and out of ARDs, Limey, I'm going to ask you for me,
sure.
Hit me with 4, a full 4.
Whoa.
ARDs. Here we go.
All right, Dan.
And now, Dan Buffo.
I'm right there with you. I'm not sure I'd go 4, but I'd probably go 3.5, but it's really the rare kind of Oscar caliber movie where it's actually fun to watch. I think people, it's a lot about the away from the track drama, the people, the men and women that actually make these things and put them on the track. Ken Miles, who Christian Bale plays, and Carroll Shelby, Matt Damon, these two, they're really just a dream team, because you have Matt Damon, who's more the movie star. Christian Bale is just a phenomenal actor. I think he can play anybody in this room if you gave him.
I'm glad you said that. No, thank you. You know what? Hold on. You just said something very interesting. Tom Hanks is a movie star. Matt Damon is a movie star. Ben Affleck is a movie star. Christian Bale is an actor. Thank you, because there's a difference.
Yeah. I mean, okay. He takes those roles that way. He can do the movie star stuff, but he really gets into character here. You know, he's Welsh in real life, so he has an accent, but even here he digs into Ken Miles' way of speaking, which almost was kind of like a, not even just standard British. It's like he just had a way of
making, like Australian.
And making it sound like all his words came out with like the blunt force of a knife when he talked to you. Because he was he wasn't a people's person, Ken Miles. He was a expert racer, expert engineer, and Carroll Shelby was the guy that kind of talked to people and kind of warmed over the chilliness that Ken Miles gave him. But yeah, the cast is great. James Mangold, who's really kind of one of the underrated directors. He did Logan, he did Walk the Line, and now he does these really invigorating racing scenes in this movie, the way that he shot, because Le Mans wasn't like a Daytona. You don't just go around making lefts.
That's
go,
a 24-hour race.
And it's a countryside and hard turns, and, you know, mm-hmm. it's not graded turf that they're driving on. It's basically like, you know, if you drove out like in Wright City on those country roads, that's basically 24 hours of Le Mans. So it was a big, tall task.
I thought there's an S on the end of it.
Le Mans.
It's not Le Mans?
But I thought you say Le Mans, how you pronounce it.
No.
Le Mans,
I've never heard it anything but Le Mans.
Yeah, Le Mans. 24 hours.
So 24-hour race.
But you know what? I'm not French. And in France, maybe they say Le Mans. I don't know.
No idea.
But I've never heard it without the S.
But yeah, I mean, so it's a different kind of race that you're not trying to just beat him in a little circle track. It's a very intricate racetrack. It's very well done. They don't really alienate the people who aren't in the cars. like you said, I think anybody can get into this movie. It's a very big, crowd-pleasing movie where the story is so great, they don't really have to add much to it. And Damon and Bale are terrific. I think the person, I think her name is Katriana Balfe.
She's great. She
plays Christian Bale's wife, and she's relatively new. I think she's on a show called Outlander.
Okay.
But other than that, she's great. And the kid who plays Noah Jupe plays Christian Bale's son in the movie. He's great.
He's good.
And everybody in the movie is good. And, you know, it's a crowd pleaser. It's Oscar worthy, but it's not like a depressing Oscar worthy film. It's a very fun movie. So I give it 3.5. 3.5. I go 3.5.
All right, give him 3.5. We'll get that done.
All right, Dan.
All right, there's also a secondary message and story in this movie. It's a movie about a racing car genius, Carroll Shelby, who teams up with Ford, and they produce a race car, and it beats Ferrari, and that was their goal. But there's another message here, too, and it's the message of talent versus the corporate world, the non-corporate world. Josh Lucas, I think, did a great job.
Yes.
Playing a big a-hole corporate
Finally
guy.
Not doing just the Home Depot commercials, which was good for Josh.
So the other story I got from it, and it's true of the radio business, and I think it's true of any business where you have two forces, two opposing forces. One is the business side, and the other is the talent side. And the talent side of this was Carroll Shelby and the driver, Ken Miles, played by Christian Bale. They're the raw talent. But then you got the company people. You got Henry Ford II, and you got this other a-hole played by Josh Lucas. And there's always this combative friction, and this is our way of doing it. Well, it's not my way of doing it. And I thought, when I walked out of there, I thought, holy, it's just like the radio business. It's exactly like the radio business,
yeah,
or probably the newspaper business, or lots of other businesses where the suits, who have no idea what's under that hood, I put in my mind, I placed in that role radio management people who have never been on the air, have never spoken on the air, never had that feeling of doing a show that was a good
exactly.
one, and then doing one that was horrible and was a massive failure. They don't even know that feeling. They couldn't tell a story, do a commercial if their lives depend, yet they want to tell, the other people how to do it. That's the other story here, is the suits versus the blue collar guys. And it's a great story that transcends just racing.
Yeah.
It's in other parts of life.
And it does, because you have even that scene early in the movie where, he's trying to get, the guy who runs Porsche to put Ken Miles in a race. And Ken Miles just mouths off to the wrong guy. And Carroll Shelby goes, you know who you're just talking to? He runs a little German car company called Porsche. You just messed that up. It just tells you that, there's the guys who can really do one thing really well, but they need the other guy in order to make the big suits really understand, the genius plan of it all. Like, if it was just Ken Miles, Le Mans would have never been won by Ford. It would have been Ferrari.
I have been Ken Miles. I have blown, I'm sure, opportunities in this business, in this radio business, just because I talked to somebody who was powerful in radio the way Ken Miles spoke to Ferdinand Porsche.
That's a great scene, though.
It is. And so I know exactly what that feels like for after the fact, for you to realize, but you're not sorry you did it. And I'm not sorry for anything that I ever said to anybody who was a big wig in radio and the president of some conglomerate. I'm not sorry at all. It felt good to do it. I'll give you an example. A lot of times the high upper level corporate people are completely full of crap. They are, and they don't even know how to talk to the rest of us. When I worked for Gannett is a giant conglomerate. You know that, Dan Buffa.
Yes.
Radio, TV, newspaper. The station I worked for was bought by Easy Communications. The president of Easy Communications, I'm not going to mention his name, came into St. Louis to have some meetings with the people at his newly acquired radio station. He now is the president of a station I work for. So I was, at the time, like a key component to that station. Our show was the most successful show and brought in the most money, blah, 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 blah. So I'm told that Mr. X wants to meet me, and I'm summoned to the general manager's office of the radio station, and there's Mr. X, the president of Easy Communications, who has flown in. They had a limo pick him up. And he puts his hand down and he says, "Welcome to Easy Communications." And I said, "Well, thank you. I'm not here by choice. I'm here by default. You bought the station." And he said, "Well, I just have to tell you, you have no idea how many times we've tried to hire you." And I said, "Yeah, I do. None." And he said, "Oh, no. Well, we've wanted you for quite some time." And I said, "Really?" I said, "And how did you try to hire me? Because I don't have an email from you or a phone call from you. I've never heard from you. I've never met you. How is it that you..." And I looked over, and the person who ran the station, I could just tell, is going, "Oh, no, 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 don't. This is not..." But I meant it. Don't feed me that BS that, "We're so glad to have you on board. We've tried to hire you." No, you haven't. If you tried to hire me, you'd have hired me. But that's my Ken Miles moment. That's one of them, where I just wasn't going to stand there and listen to this guy's BS. I'm there because I had to be there because they bought the station I work for. That was it. And Ken Miles was probably... And what I didn't see coming, and I don't want to give it away, I don't know how many people know, but what I didn't see coming was after the race. You know what I'm talking about. I didn't see that coming. That was sad.
And that's one of the things where I always tell people, if you want to go in completely fresh to a true story, don't read up about the characters. Don't go to Wikipedia. Don't look on the internet. Because I did not, and that hit me in the side of the head. I was like, whoa, wait a minute. That happened? So... That was an added delight. That kind of gave the whole movie a little bit of weight. Because it does kind of spin something different on a story you think is finished, and then all of a sudden that happens, and you go, okay, now it really just means something.
Folks, this movie is so good that last night, I was up till midnight, I watched a two-hour documentary on Ferrari and Le Mans that I found on YouTube. 2 hours. That after I came home from the movie. That's how good this movie was.
Yeah.
I got a great education about that whole Le Mans thing and Ferrari and the history of Ferrari and blah, 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 blah. So I don't expect everybody to like it. Nobody likes... There's nothing that everybody likes, but I'll tell you what. It was a pleasant surprise in a good way. You want to talk to Jim, who's on the phone? By the way, here are numbers. If you want to jump in here and suggest something or recommend something, stay with... Ray Donovan is back, by the way. I haven't watched it yet. 855-282-8255 or 314-821-0590. Jim, the other Jim, if you're still listening, I changed the joke. I'm going to do your joke today. Now let's go to this Jim. Jim, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Terrific. What do you got?
I'm AM and PM, first of all.
Thank you.
Just going to echo your words about Ford versus Ferrari. The whole suit thing versus sane people thing reminds me of also of how nothing gets done in D.C. too. There's the idiots who have been there forever, and their way's the best way. But when you were talking about Tom Hanks, and I don't totally agree with you, Frank. I do see what you're saying, though. Some of me agrees with that. I was thinking actor Christian Bale. He is. An incredible actor.
Jim, here's the other thing I believe this.
Yeah.
I believe one of the tests as to whether or not somebody is truly a great actor is how big an a-hole are they? Christian Bale is apparently a real pain in the butt to work with. I think the great artists, whether they're musical talents or they're geniuses, and they're incapable of getting along with people. Tom Hanks gets along with people. He's liked by people. No, I'm serious. I think that's part of his reason that he's not maybe as great an actor. I think to truly be a great artist or actor, you got to be really out there, and nobody can get along with you.
And the way he played that dude on The Big Short, the guy who foresaw everything, that was a great actor.
That's kind of one of the roles he doesn't really get a lot of acclaim for, because it was Gosling and Steve Carell in that Adam McKay's Big Short. But yeah, you're right, he was really good. Brad Pitt was in that movie.
Yeah. One of the biggest points I want to make, though, is I have just recently learned that foreign countries don't simply translate titles of movies. they actually take concepts that are like kind of foreign in those countries and make them more relatable. So I can't really think of big examples right now, but something that drives me crazy on this movie is that in Argentina, where people know what a Ford is and everybody knows what a Ferrari is, it's called Against the Impossible. That's the name of Ford versus Ferrari. It's called Against the Impossible. I just learned that from a friend that lives there. We have this discussion all the time. Like Little House on the Prairie was called like Family in a Log Cabin or something like that. So it's crazy how they name their stuff, but it's ridiculous because everybody in the world besides maybe some tribe in Ethiopia knows what a Ferrari is and knows what a Ford is.
Wait, are you saying the same movie has another title?
Yes, Against the Impossible is the name of the movie in Argentina that we call Ford versus Ferrari.
Wow. Why? What's the point?
That happens sometimes in movies that they'll change title for a certain country.
Right, but normally it's because there's unrelatable concepts that are very, very American or very, very whatever. Ford is very recognizable. Ferrari, everybody around the world besides here loves Le Mans.
No, I know exactly what you're saying. A Little House on the Prairie, they might not know what a prairie is. Okay,
I
get that. But you're right. They know what a Ford is, and I know exactly what you're saying, and I don't get it. I get it in the other cases, but man, in this one,
it's mind blowing. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right, thank you, Jim. Max is next. Max, welcome to 590 The Fan. What do you got for us?
Right, you're right. The movie was a 4.5. You're right, 4.5.
Even better than four. Ford versus Ferrari. Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, the other day you were talking about your dancing.
Mm-hmm.
Which is good. There's a place you've got to go to that's your way that you will love.
Stovall's?
Stovall's.
I already said it before you did. I've known about it for years, 20 years, 25 years.
Have you been in there?
You can't say that word. Button that out, Lalimi.
Have you been in there?
I've never been in there. I've seen it. I don't live that far from it. I've never been there, but I will go there. I'll go there before the winter is over. I will go there.
You got to go in there.
No, I'm going. I've already decided to go a long time ago.
I thought it would be just strictly too country for me, but you go in there, there's businessmen, there's businesswomen that dress in their outfits. You got to wear your boots and your hat in there. They have a great band.
I think a long time ago I was in there. I think a long time ago we stepped in with some other people. It was so crowded we just backed out. We didn't stay. But yeah, I know exactly where it is, and I'm going to go there and I'm going to part the seas and clear that floor when I get out and I start Texas two-stepping. So
you going to let us know? You going to do any line dancing?
No, I don't line dance. Line dance is for people who can't really do anything else and do other dances. I shouldn't have said that. I don't mean that. I'm just, line dancing's not for me. It's not for me. It's a group thing. I'm not a group participant person. I don't want to line dance, but Texas Two-Step, which is basically a foxtrot, is a blast. And yes, I will go there, and no, I probably won't let anybody know. I'll just go there and have a great time.
They also have a fish fry in there every year you got to go to.
That sounds good to me. All right.
Enough of that.
Thank you.
Have a good one. You can enjoy
Thank you,
the
Max.
Program. You're fantastic, okay?
Thank you. Thank you, Max. I appreciate it. Bye-bye. That's a little off subject, but I don't care. I liked him. I like Max. All right, Buffa, the rest of the time is yours. What do you want us to know?
What comes out tomorrow, a different movie than Ford versus Ferrari, is The Report. This is a very taunt, potent thriller that probably really plays to the opposite side of the Ferrari race car kind of crowd. It stars Adam Driver, who is really having a great year. He's in this movie. He is in, of course, he plays a big role in Star Wars, Rise of the Skywalker. He plays the real character Daniel L. Jones, who was an FBI investigator turned Senate staffer who investigated CIA's torture methods after 9/11. This is based on a book and on reports, and it is directed by Scott C. Burns. This is a very interesting subject because after 9/11, the CIA adapted and kind of took on this new torture method. This is when they brought on those two scientists and they came up with the waterboarding and the extreme torture methods. And this guy, Daniel L. Jones, is appointed by the senator, Dianne Feinstein, I think is her name, played by Annette Bening. She wanted to know what, you know, the details. But supposedly, of course, they went over you know, they won, you know, all crossed the line. I mean, one instance they waterboarded one suspect 188 times, and it's ones like those that he spent 6 years investigating. I mean, and one of the shots in the movie, he's standing between two stacks of paper that just resemble the towers. It's a very good shot. But it's, you know, it's a movie that is very important, but it also is slow. It gathers, it basically moves at the pace of Jones's investigation. He had to go and do thousands of documents about how they recounted this torture and trying to get this massive 7,000-word report out. And the whole half the movie really is trying to jump over the hoops in Washington to actually get people to read it, because, of course, the CIA isn't going to want it to get out. The presidency isn't going to want it to get out, because it's all real. So it's Danielle Jones putting it together and then trying to get it out to the public.
What's the name of this thing?
It's called The Report. It is based on, I want to say, a lot of Daniel Jones's work, and also possibly a book, but and a lot of it's true. And Scott,
it sounds boring.
You know, I mean, it is to some people, but I love this kind of not post 9/11, how our country and government reacted. I find it fascinating, because a lot of what Daniel Jones runs into is people going, look, you know, we did this new stuff because we were confronted with an enemy that did something terrible. So it's like you're wrestling within yourself. Do you side with this investigator, or do you see the, you know, the methods of madness used by the CIA? For people that want something fast, you know, you can go watch Ford versus Ferrari, a lot of, you know, good humor, drama, and racing. But this is the other side of the table, and one that I was ready for, because I want to know about this stuff. I want to know all about what really happened. And this
you'll never know that.
I know, but in this movie, we do, because this is, I mean, Scott Z. Burns made this probably against the wishes of a lot of people, and this is based on actual documents. This is not made up.
Well,
so
here's what I wish he would do next, and I've waited 18 years for somebody to do this. I'm glad you brought this up, because a listener sent me a link to a little over a four-minute interview with two firefighters. It was taken 9/11. They're sitting on a bench, and they're covered in ash. They just came out of one of the Twin Towers, out of the lobby. And it's an interview that he sent it to me and said, you've never seen this. You never will see this. This is not anything that
sounds
was ever broadcast. Oh, it's beyond interesting. And these firefighters, who are covered in ash and choking, are being interviewed. And they're explaining to the reporter that they just ran out of one of the Twin Tower buildings when the lobby exploded. It was a definite detonated explosion, and that there were three of them, and they all went off on the ground level. Now, the damage is tens of floors above them. And then, let's not forget, and this drives me nuts. Bill, thank you for that video. And Bill is also a listener who has shared other things. He and I disagree on a lot of things, but here's the thing that has always bothered me. Why have we never, ever heard the FBI, the CIA, the president, anybody explain to us what happened with Building 7, the one tower that was not hit by planes?
It's always been the mystery.
It's not a mystery. It was imploded. They were all imploded. Why don't we ever have somebody step up and say, yes, they were imploded, and here's what we're going to find out, or here's what we have found out? They act like it didn't happen, like everything that happened was because of the planes. You've got to be an idiot to think that. You have to be stupid to think that.
Yeah, I mean, there's a real case that they use this. I mean, I do think terrorists were involved, but the fact that there was a conspiracy that they wanted to have this be a tip-off to start a war, I'm completely in line with that, because the government, they draw up their own playbook. They don't really consult with anybody. They're a united nation. I mean, they're one of the most powerful countries in the world.
You know how much work it takes to plant detonatable devices,
sure,
on every corner and every floor of a building? Somebody had to get in there and do that. And there is footage that you've never seen on the evening news, and I've watched it, and it's raw footage of those buildings just before they drop straight down, and you can see the detonation. You can see the sparks, the explosions, floor by floor. It's not Photoshop. Nobody laid it in there. For some reason, we're never told about that. Now, that third building was not hit by anything. Buildings just don't fall straight down when they weren't hit by anything.
Let's hope
and
not.
They don't when they were hit at the top. So, sorry, but I had to get that sidebar in.
No.
How many ARDs for the report?
It's really good, because that's the kind of reason why this movie interests me, because this is one person who ran into every barrier at the CIA and the government saying, hey, okay, even John Hamm, you know, who really plays a good, he plays the chief of staff for Barack Obama in this movie, who kept telling him, you know, you should just, you know, lay off this. Because nobody wanted to discuss this. Nobody wanted anybody to spend 6 years. And they put this guy in the basement of the Senate where all the information, they stuck him in this basement room. And he spent 6 years doing this. And Adam Driver, I want to say again before I give the rating, he is becoming one of the strongest actors, because he was nominated for a movie last year called Black Klansman. He's in three movies this year that are going to be getting a lot of attention. He plays Jones perfectly. Doesn't overplay him. Doesn't try to chew material, chew scenery. He just plays this guy perfect. He's diabolical. He's the reason to see it. I give it a solid 3.5 out of 4.
Okay, here they come. 3.5 ARDs.
All right, Dan.
I know that a lot of people want to think that, well, you know, and with the internet and what people are capable of doing with computer, you can make anything look real. But long before anybody had a chance to mess with what we saw on September 11th, 2001, when we're watching it all that day, and that Building 7 went straight down and nothing had hit it, nobody had had time to concoct some fabricated video. It dropped straight down, exactly like buildings do when you see them imploded in Las Vegas, or the arena here in St. Louis, or a bridge goes down. They were imploded. The two were hit by planes, yes. That, this has drive, always bugged me. It has, and it always bothered me. I don't know how I could not bother everybody else.
It's always going to bug you, too. It's never going to
stop. It's never
stop.
Mentioned. It's never mentioned. Go back and find me any newscast where they go and mysteriously, Building 7 just went straight down. And they act like, well, two planes hit a couple buildings.
They've been told
and it knocked
to.
Three buildings down. Yes, they've been told not to.
Yeah.
And that's disturbing to me.
It is. It is. I'm sure there'll be a movie about that. Because they're slowly, they just need the right directors like Scott Z. Burns, who just wants to make a movie. He doesn't care about clearance.
I also believe that once that movie's, whatever steps there are to making a movie, you get a screenplay.
Sure.
I also believe that there could be that phone call that comes to the director or the producer. And the call is simply this. If you make this movie, we will kill your family. Click. No.
I can see it.
I believe it. Do you think Jeffrey Epstein committed suicide?
No. No
way. I don't either.
No, he was killed.
He was killed. You know why he was killed? Because there are people that went to that pedophile island. They don't want the world to know they were there.
No.
This guy was a sick. Look at that Prince Andrew horrible interview. Oh, yeah. Mackerel. Don't you think that Limey, if he could be over there now and report to us behind closed doors what's going on there at the palace, they're probably just tearing this guy. What were you thinking? What's the matter? I got to be really upset with this guy.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
For acting like, I saw the interview, like, well, yeah, he was... he just kind of blew it off. It's not a big deal. And then the dumbest thing he said was he went over there to tell him in person, I can't be your friend because you're a sex offender. And he was there 4 days to do that.
Right.
How ridiculous.
A bit extreme.
We're never going to find out what happened there, too. Well,
nope.
Enough of that. I don't want to give people a headache. Is there any? Oh, television.
Yeah.
I don't watch Jeopardy. But in January, they're going to bring in the
best.
All-time best of the best winners.
That's
and they're
great.
Gonna work it down to the top three, first, second, and third. I've never watched a full Jeopardy. I know what the show is. The all-time biggest money winner, I believe, won $4.7 million on Jeopardy. He's going to be there, and then they're getting down to three, and the winner gets $1 million, and the other two get $250, I think, or something like that.
Oof.
I'll watch that.
I'll watch that
prime-time Jeopardy in January. I'm in for.
Because these people, they have locked themselves in a room, look up every possible answer, fact, thing. That's all they do. I mean,
you know what it's kind of like? Were you ever in a spelling bee?
Yeah.
Anybody else in the room ever been in a spelling bee? Limey, were you ever in a spelling bee?
Nope.
They're hard.
No.
They're harder than you think.
Tim, spelling bee?
I think so, yeah.
I remember I was in the sixth grade, and I came in third. But I remember trying, and this is no internet, I'm trying my best to see if I can look up, like, every word that ever... You can't do it. I mean, I got a dictionary. I'm trying to see. I can't read this whole thing. And you think, oh, man, what other words have I not thought of? Well, I got news for you. There are a million words you haven't come across yet. And that's when I think of Jeopardy. At least these people have the internet. But there's so much information.
There's too much.
These people are really smart. And they also have brains that allow them to just retain everything they read.
Photographic memory.
Yeah.
It's insane. Yeah,
I'll watch Jeopardy in January. I hope Alex Trebek beats this. I do.
Me too.
He seems like a really likable guy to me.
He needs to stick around. There's certain people you just got to make an exception for. Like, look, okay, whatever you want to take this guy, no, go away. So hopefully Alex beats him. I'm with you on that one. You had previously mentioned you did not watch Ray yet, so we'll discuss that next week.
I'll watch it tonight. Recorded it. Now, one other quick thing. Who's the woman who's the lead on Grey's Anatomy? I can see her face.
Ellen Pump. P-O. Yeah. It's P-O-M-P-O is her name. It's all she does is Grey's Anatomy. She's done it for 15 years.
And she did an interview and said, I don't do anything else. I don't want to do anything.
She makes insane money. Yeah, she makes like Friends money.
And you know
to
what?
Do that.
Why would you want to do anything else?
Well, you got to think. I mean, Lee Ev, the lead of Ray Donovan, said that even when they shoot that show, which is only 12 episodes, about half of what Grey's Anatomy does, it says those are 13 to 15 hour days. It takes like months. So imagine him doing that and then doubling it. I mean, you don't really... The guy who was the lead on Banshee, Anthony Starr, only did Banshee for about 4 years because it's just too much work.
But he's going to get royalties forever.
Yes,
here's the thing. I think the smart people in show business are some of the soap opera people who, rather than drop it and go, you know what, I'm not doing this anymore, I'm going to go do major motion big. No, hold on. You're making really good money. Just is Vanna White, Pat Sajak, good examples. Stay with that. You're making a fortune. Chevy Chase made the dumbest decision, mistake ever. After 1 year on Saturday Night Live, he decides, I'm Chevy Chase and I'm so hot, I can do anything.
Nope.
Now, you did a couple of movies and a couple other things, and then in no time, you were irrelevant.
No, I mean, it's all the people that do the direct-to-DVD, like Dolph Lundgren, Steven Seagal. You can make fun of those guys, but they make 8 of those movies a year, and they get paid very well, and they're very easy to shoot. So, and they're playing themselves every time. So
I don't make fun of anybody that has the
good
ability
business plan
to legally and legitimately make a lot of money. If you're doing it legally, this Kylie Jenner, I can't stand that family. But I'm gonna tell you something.
Oh wait, Kylie Jenner, yeah.
This woman just sold 51% of her cosmetics company to Coty for $600 million. Good for her. There's nothing illegal about putting cosmetics out there. Good for her. I don't like the family and they're a bunch of skanks, but I got to tell you something. I should be so smart, as we all should be so lucky.
You
got
to have a good business plan to have longevity in the entertainment business.
You also have to have something that the public can't get enough of.
Yep.
Whether it's talk about sexist. These Kardashians. I mean, the public, if they crave it and can't get enough of you or it or reading about it, you can make a lot of money off it. All right, you know how to close it out, Daniel.
All right, until next week, I'm Dan Buffa. I've had enough of.
All right, there it goes. Thank you, Dan. Good session today. Covered a lot of ground. Building 7, go look at the video again. You tell me. Dan Buffa brought to you by Window World, the number one selling replacement window in the United States for a lot of good reasons. It's also the preferred window of the Stanley Cup champion, St. Louis Blues. You can find out more at windowworldstlouis.com. I have decided to change the joke. Rarely do I change it mid-show. But Jim asked for a joke that I happen to really like, and I think it's been long enough, so Jim, we'll be doing that for you in the Playhouse. It's 5 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is locally owned 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com. KFNS Wood River, St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio, I'm Brian Shook.
Kurt Volker says he was not involved in any efforts to pressure Ukraine. That's what the former special U.S.-Ukraine envoy told lawmakers during a House impeachment hearing today. Volker discussed the allegations about former Vice President Joe Biden's son Hunter's business dealings.
I think the allegations against Vice President Biden are self-serving and not credible.
Trump is accused of pressuring Ukraine to launch a political investigation at the same time he was delaying U.S. military aid to Ukraine. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell hopes a potential impeachment trial will not be lengthy. Speaking to reporters today, McConnell said he still believes there are not enough votes in the Senate to remove the president from office. He said that if the House